alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. And guess what? Children's ministry is important to, as far as storytelling and dramatizations go, because the Word of God is supposed to be alive and it's supposed to be powerful on every level. As young people and as adults, we enjoy preaching. We enjoy preaching. We see that the Word of God is alive and powerful. But to a child who doesn't really understand the value of Scripture, that doesn't really understand the value and the power behind the Word of God, as children's ministers, it's our responsibility to present it in as an alive, breathing thing, as a powerful thing. And so this is done in skits, storytelling, and dramatizations. In your handout, does everybody have pens and pencils to get to writing? Fantastic. I'm just going to go through this real quickly. Using skits in your children's ministry is a fantastic method of teaching. It's a fantastic method of teaching. I've been to many places where they want me to preach, and I'll go and I'll preach. But skits are not intended to preach. They're intended to teach. So when you're presenting skits, you need to keep that in mind, that it needs to be to teach something. Now, there's a difference between an attention getter and a dramatization to teach a point. You could bring in a wacky character to get all the kids' attention. We've done that with clowns. We've done that with mad scientists. We've done that with many puppets. We've done that with many different things to get the kids' attention initially, but it's not quite to teach a lesson. Listen, skits take a lot of time. And if you're going to be utilizing that time in your Sunday school classroom or in Power Hour, you want it to teach a lesson. You want it to go somewhere to where you're presenting something that is alive. Listen, the Bible is already living. The Bible is already living. But we can bring the word to life physically to teach powerful lessons using skits and storytelling. We all know that skits, we've all seen it before. We know that skits can be entertaining, but our objective is not to provide entertainment. We should minister using skits as a tool to present a lesson on a child's level. Listen, the kids don't come to church. They might in their little 7 or 8 year old mind. They come expecting to have fun. We talked about that in Power Hour. They come expecting to have fun. But I'll tell you what. If the kids came solely for entertainment, they wouldn't waste their time coming to church. There's a movie theater 3 blocks from their house that'll give them all the entertainment they want. They've got a television in every room in their house that'll entertain them all day. They've got game systems. They've got friends down the street. Their parents, they have plenty of entertainment. As Sunday school workers, as children's ministers, your job is not to entertain these kids. It's to present the gospel in a powerful and a living way that will engage them in a manner that they want what we're teaching. They want to apply the stories that happened in the Bible. They really did happen. And listen, some of those stories, they're entertaining. I mean, could you imagine the first time being taught the story of Jesus walking on the water? It's like, dude. And if you present it in a way that's not, oh, so Jesus walked on the water, we present it in a way that is so mundane. And it's like everybody knows this. I'm bored teaching this. I've taught this too many times. It's not exciting to me. If you present it like that, guess what? The kids aren't going to receive it as being powerful, as being living, as being something that is a miracle. They're just going to hear it, and it's going to be another fairy tale to them. I did this last night, and who wasn't here last night? Quite a few people. Okay, so I'll just ask the same questions I asked last night. And if you were here, don't ruin it for me. What woman was tempted to eat a piece of fruit? Eve, right? What man was swallowed by a big fish? Well, in these kids' minds, if they don't know those stories and it hasn't brought to life in them, they've already been entertained. They've already been presented with fairy tales and stories. You know what their answers would be? To the first one, it'd be Snow White, and the second one would be Pinocchio. You see, Disney and the entertainments of this world, they've already saturated the minds of our children that's saying everything that is abnormal to your life is fake. Everything is a fairy tale. Everything's unrealistic. And it's our job as children's ministers to present things as real to these kids and present it as living. And so that's where storytelling and dramatizations come in. They don't come in to entertain the kids. Kids could get entertainment without coming to church. We want to present lessons and stories that are going to affect and change the lives of these children. So our goal is to present clearly. You need to present clearly when you're doing a skit or a story. Make sure you're speaking clearly. I know this is so elementary. I really shouldn't say that. But do your best to speak clearly to these children so they understand what you're saying. Not just your phonetics, but in your presentation. And let me tell you a little more than that. So stay true to your church standards. Write that down. Stay true to your church standards. If your pastor preaches that it's an abomination for a woman to dress like a man and a man to dress like a woman, guess what? I don't care how funny the skit is. You present something that's going to be clear to the kids to where they understand guys don't dress like women and women don't dress like guys. I've seen some skits where guys had dressed up in a women's costume as part of a skit. Uh-uh. That is breeding confusion in the minds of these children. We're trying to present the gospel to them, not to make it unclear, not to make it muddy. They're going to see that as a lesson being brought forth in Sunday school, and then they're going to go to church with their mom and dad, and then pastor's going to say something about how that's an abomination. Now, Brother Bob looks like an abomination because he was wearing a dress in kids' church last Sunday. So stay true to your church standards, and you must always be consistent with... This is so elementary. I can't believe I'm actually even saying this. You must always be consistent with the Bible to avoid unnecessary confusion. Man, I don't care how smart the idea is. If you are coming in direct opposition to the facts of a Bible story, don't tell the story that way. Don't present it that way. You're breeding unnecessary confusion. It's a tool to teach a lesson. Don't try to stretch your creativity so much to where you totally warp the word of God. Amen. So some people say, okay, well, what's the skills I need for storytelling? My rule for excellent storytelling, rule number one, make everything extravagant. Look to your neighbor and say, extravagant. Make everything extravagant. I mean, over the top extravagant. Does anybody have a clown team in their church? Does anybody have clowns? Okay. I love clowns. I'm sorry. I love clowns. They are excellent when it comes to presenting something on a silly, extravagant level. I mean, talk about extravagant. The church that I got introduced in clowns at, it was Brother Bradford's church in Bakersfield with my wife. She was an excellent clown. You would never even know because she's so quiet. But I'm telling you what, when she puts on her little clown costume, she's a whole nother animal. But we didn't do face paint or any of that stuff because, once again, we don't want to bring in any unnecessary confusion. We wanted to be clear with the church standards. So we didn't put face paint on when we were clowns. That was our thing. And so, but we were very extravagant. When you're telling a story, you can't just sit there and read in your curriculum the story of David and Goliath. I mean, you got to bring it to life. It's alive. It's powerful. It's quick. It's something that's living. So you got to present it as such. A good way to practice this is to take a psalm and read it like you were reading it to a group of 30 kids. And I could tell any of us to open up to any psalm in the Bible. A good one to practice is with Psalms 24. That's a really good one to practice with. Psalms, any psalm, though, really. You could open it up, and you just start reading. And if you're reading it like this, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. If that's how you're presenting to the kids, in monotone voice, without any living, lively interaction with the kids, they're not going to be interested in what you have to say. But you bring it to life. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I doubt you'll have that in your Sunday school room. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Right? You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Right? You just get really excited. Use your hands. Use your voice. Use your personality. Put some personality in there. Overemphasize your pronunciation. Overemphasize your emotions. Overemphasize your facial expressions. Overemphasize your body language and your tone of voice and your voice fluctuations. Anything that you do normally, multiply it by, infinity. Okay. And do that. Okay. If this is your normal disgusted face, even that one was kind of overemphasized. I mean, when you're telling a story, you're like, right? You're like really disgusted. If you're trying to present happy and you're just, this is your normal happy. I mean, when you're telling a story, I mean, you're just like, Be creepy. Because kids want to watch you when you're overemphasizing certain things like that. When you're moving on to different characters in a Bible story, David's voice and Goliath's voice should not be the same. Be creative on how you're presenting certain things. Some of this might be elementary to some of you, but we're about to have some fun here in a second. When you're presenting, David's voice should be something like this. I come to you in the name of the Lord. You come to me with a sword and a spear and a big old shield. I come to you in the name of the Lord, right? And Goliath is over here. Send me a man that I can fight. And some of you ladies, that's probably a little difficult to do. But be creative. Be creative. You could even have some fun with it and tell the kids that David was, no, I'm just kidding. I was about to say David was going through adolescence. He could have the low voice, and then you could do a really high-pitched voice for Goliath and mess him up. No, I'm just kidding. You don't want to do that. Praise God. It's okay to use scripts sometimes, but some of the best skits I've ever seen was based off of ad lib. Is anybody in here good at improvisation? Anybody in here good at ad lib? Oh, you're good at ad lib. I've worked with you before. Improvise. Act freely without restriction. You know why? This will allow you to get into character in your own way, and it brings an element of surprise to the others involved in the skit. That could be a good and a bad thing. I used to work with a guy at a junior camp for many years. He took a church and he stopped coming as part of the leadership. But him and I, we were a dynamic duo. We'd go and we'd do skits in the morning services at this junior camp. And we would completely improv the entire thing. We'd get together about 30 minutes before the service started. We'd say, okay, this is the message we want to bring across. That's your character. This is my character. Here's what we have as props. Let's do this. And we'd go in there and we'd just start going. And all you need is the end result in mind. What do you want to teach these kids? What is your character? You don't want to step out of character, all right? If you're a goofy person, you don't want to all of a sudden in the middle of your skit become real serious. If you have an Australian accent, this is my problem. If you have an Australian accent, you don't want to switch over to a Southern cowboy accent in the middle of your skit, all right? You want to try to be consistent with your character. That's the tough part of ad lib, is getting into character and staying that way. When another person is acting and hears something really powerful that was improvised, listen, this is serious. I've seen this before. If you're acting and you start filling in the Holy Ghost to say something that's not in the script, but it totally is in line with your message that you're presenting, and it's in character, all of that, when you say it, it brings an element of surprise to the other people involved in the skit. I was doing a skit once, and we were talking about God's love, and I had said something, and it just came out, and the Holy Ghost fell on the room, and it was like, boom, and it got heavy. And the guy involved in the skit that I was trying to encourage, it wasn't acting anymore. He started to weep. And he started to cry. It wasn't scripted. That wasn't faked. It was real. It became real at that point. And all the kids in the congregation at that point, they realized, hey, this is real. You can't memorize that in a script. It's okay to use scripts, but some of the best moves of God I've ever seen in storytelling and dramatizations is ad-lib. And if you're not a good ad-lib person, if you're not a good improv person, there's ways that you could practice on it and strengthen those skills and get better at it. Even if you're a quiet person, that's the next part. You can still be a part of a skit if you are a quiet person. Who in here would be considered a quiet person? Go ahead and raise your little quiet hand. There you go. Whatever. I know you're not quiet. You can still be a part of a skit if you're a quiet person. There's a big difference between having a quiet personality and being embarrassed to be a part of a skit. There's a big difference there. If you're quiet, you don't really have an outgoing personality, there's still a place for you. There's a difference between that and being completely embarrassed to be in front of people. If you're willing to come in front of people, there's a place for you to play in a skit. Matter of fact, there's one skit that came to mind that we'd done, a dramatization that we did, and it was God's workshop. And it was a workshop, and all the characters were different tools, and they had different personalities. So the hammer was real tough, and it was rough, and it was a country guy, and he was solid, right? He was a hammer. Another guy was a saw. Another guy was a screwdriver. Another person was a tape measure. Another person was, you know, all these different type of tools, and they were fighting amongst each other with who was the greatest and all this stuff. And there was one character that was just standing in the corner, and he is never involved. As a matter of fact, it's my brother-in-law. He's never involved with skits. It's just not his personality. He's a quiet guy. He's not very outgoing, but he was willing to be involved. And he was just standing in the corner as a character, and everyone was looking at him, what is that guy? Anyway, when God came in and he was rebuking all the tools for comparing themselves, he reached over and grabbed that young man and brought him to the front, and he said, this is what you guys should be like. And he was the wood of God's workshop that God was able to mold and use freely without having to worry about comparing each other and all that stuff. And it was excellent. And it was using somebody who had a quiet personality, but they still had a place in teaching a lesson. I've even seen some quiet people be an inanimate object. And I know that sounds really silly, but if you're an inanimate object, a living, breathing, inanimate object, there's a lot of room for the other characters in the skit to mess with you. And you don't have to say a word, and it's hilarious. I've seen some people be trees and all dressed up and stuff, and the other characters just have a heyday. And it's hilarious because you're looking at that person's face and they're trying not to laugh and everything, and it just adds character. So if you're a quiet person, don't think that storytelling and dramatizations isn't for you. Go to your Sunday school teacher, go to your team leader and ask them, hey, I want to be involved. I want to help teach this lesson to these kids. I want to do whatever it takes to make sure that they understand that the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive. It's living. It's not something boring. It's not just another fairy tale. I want it to bring it to life, and I want to have a role to play in that. A great game that you could play as a ministry team to practice ad-libbing is a game called Hitchhiker. Has anybody ever heard of Hitchhiker? Nobody's heard of Hitchhiker. Have you ever heard of Hitchhiker? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. Oh man, I wish I had more time. I want to play this game so bad right now. Oh, you know what? We have time. I need, Ian, can you grab two, I need, right here, bro. Can you grab two chairs? And you grab two chairs. And actually, never mind. I got it right here. Here we go. I need four volunteers. Ian, come on up here. There we go. There we go. Awesome. So I need that chair, those two chairs to be right behind. There we go. There we go. That's good. Just like that. All right. So Hitchhiker, are you going to help me, sister? Awesome. Are you going to help me too? Are you guys going to help me? That's perfect. Yeah? All right. Take a seat. Anybody else? Sister, get on up here. Oh, this is going to be fun. And I'm just showing you guys so that you can take this home. And if you guys aren't good at ad-libbing, if you guys need help with improv, and you guys are married to scripts every time you try to do a skit, Every time you try to tell a story, you have to read it from a curriculum, read it from a manual. This is a great way to practice improvisation, and it's a great way to practice your emotions and being able to do things on the spot. So here's how it works. Okay, hitchhiker, you're the driver, okay? Everybody else in the car are passengers. We need a destination. Where are we going? We're going to San Diego. Okay, what are you driving? A van. Okay. Why are you going to San Diego? What's the purpose? You're going to go to San Diego for some pancakes. Okay. I like it. Those three things right there are key to any drama, to any skit you do. Where you're going to go, why you're going there, and what avenue, what vehicle is going to take you there. Okay. It might not be as specific as a van or San Diego or pancakes, but you need to know where you're going in your lesson. You need to know why you're going there. What do you want to present to the kids? What do you want the kids to get out of it? And you need to know the means of presenting that lesson. So we're going to San Diego to get pancakes in a van, okay? On your way, you guys are driving, having a good time, talking, whatever. And you see a hitchhiker on the side of the road. I'm a hitchhiker. So what you do is you get your ministry team together and you get them all on the line and you get them ready to start rotating. You're going to stop and pick me up. I'm going to get in the car. You're going to jump out. That young man's going to take the driver's seat. We're all going to kind of rotate, okay? Does that make sense? When I get in the car, I'm going to start doing an emotion, like crying or being happy or whatever. And once you guys catch on to my emotion, you all have to start being that same emotion. And we're talking about going to San Diego to get pancakes in a van with that emotion attached, okay? Until the next hitchhiker comes around, which you'll be the next hitchhiker. We stop, pick you up, and then you change the emotion. We have to catch on. We have to just kind of adapt. So it's a great way to learn to adapt to different environments. It's a great way to learn how to be emotional on the spot. It's a great tool to use for improv. So you guys ready? All right, here we go. Give him a hand. Way to go. You guys did awesome. Thank you, guys. So that's just a game that you could use to try to improve your ad lib, okay? You get going in that scenario. There's so many different emotions you could come up with. There was fear. There was anger. There could have been unbelievable joy. There could have been sadness. There could have been giddiness. Maybe there was somebody that you were meeting up with in San Diego to have a breakfast with, or there could have been sympathy. There could have been, there's so many different emotions that you need to learn how to portray when telling a story. Why? Because oftentimes we really overlook the depth of some stories in the Bible. Could you imagine what Ruth was going through in that story? We read it like there was no emotion attached to it. But she had just lost her husband. And she had lost her brother-in-law. And she had lost her father-in-law. All at the same time. Can you imagine the heartbreak? Imagine the emotion attached to that. Don't just tell the story like it was unreal and that there was no emotional attachment. You know why? Because the stories that these kids are developing in their lives, they have emotion attached to it. And so when they learn that they're not the only ones going through that, people in the Bible went through that many years ago and God helped them, he can help you. You present it in a way that's living and applicable to each child, and they're going to have a greater understanding for it. Whatever, now I'm going to talk about getting into character. Here we go. Whatever role you play in the skit or whatever character you're telling about in your story, you have to try. Underline that. To try and give it your very best. You know what? In children's ministry, we don't have time for an I can't attitude. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for an I can't attitude. We have these kids for an hour sometimes, and that's max. An hour a week to try to instill into them godly principles and hope of Jesus Christ. We don't have time for an I can't attitude. You have to try. You have to try and give it your very best. You might not be very good at it the first time, but like we talked about last night, you know what? These kids aren't necessarily looking at your ability. They want your availability. They want what you have. Amen. So you have to give it your very best. Don't be embarrassed. These kids aren't embarrassed of watching you. They're digging it. They're not going to judge you. They're not going to get up there and they're not going to be like, oh man, she messed up on that line. Oh man, she's weird. You know, like, why do we get so insecure? We need to come and we need to give it our very best. The diversity of characters is only limited by your imagination. You can make a character out of anything. You can make a character out of inanimate objects. Like I talked about the rocks that David picked up to use as weapons against Goliath. You could use people that aren't mentioned in a Bible story that we can assume were there. And then obviously we could do main characters. One lesson that I've done before, and I was going to do it. I'm not going to have time to. One skit that I've done before, I do monologues, which we're going to go into the different types of stories and different dramatizations that you can do. But I do a lot of monologues, which means I dress up as a Bible character and I tell a story from the viewpoint of that character. So I'm not just saying David did this. I'm David. And I come to the kids and I teach that Bible story as David. And one particular lesson that I've taught was on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, we know that there were other people that were captured from Israel, other than Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know that there was others. But the Bible only records Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as the only ones that stood when everyone else bowed. And so I've told the story from the viewpoint of a slave that was captured just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who bowed. And he felt guilt and regret because he gave in to peer pressure and he gave in to the world. And he looked up to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and he honored them. He respected them because they stood out from the crowd. And he wished he could have been that example to his children. And he wished he could have been that example to his wife. And I told that story from that viewpoint. Now, we don't know that Bible story, but we're taking Bibles, stories in the Bible, and we're bringing them to life. We're bringing them to life. We're coming up with creative ways to teach the Bible. You're not teaching false doctrine. You're just being creative. You know they were there. You don't know exactly what they said, but you can imagine the emotions behind it and try to really focus in on those things because kids understand feelings. They understand those. They understand loneliness. They understand regret. They understand rejection. They understand happiness. They understand sorrow. They understand peer pressure. They understand embarrassment. They understand all these things. And if we could extract that from every Bible story we tell, every message that we're trying to portray in a skit, the kids will understand it and it will become applicable to them. Does that make sense? Awesome. So, ask these questions when you're preparing a character for your skit or for your story. Who is the character? You need to know their name. Sometimes it's good to know the region they were born. Sometimes it's good to know their occupation, their age, their race, etc. This can help you determine what accent you have, what props or costumes to use, and even what attitude to portray. Really think about your characters and the people in your story to bring them to life. Really think about it. Because all of those things go in a part with how you're going to present your character. You're not going to present an old man with a young man with young man enthusiasm. He's got to be walking around a little bit and talking a little, you know, a little slower, a little weaker. You can't just be jumping around and be like, yeah, I'm Methuselah. Woo! Right? So think about who you are and try to stay in character. Why? Because we're trying to be consistent with the Word of God. And we're trying to bring the Bible to life, not compromise the Bible. All right? And the second question you need to ask when you're looking at your character or your Bible story character, what role does the character play? What does the character do? This could be determining whether he, she, or it is a good guy, bad guy, or undecided guy. What does the character bring to a situation? Do they make the situation tense, hilarious, or meaningful? Try to imagine stepping into the character's shoes and seeing where it lives, its memories and experiences, its social or economic life. All of these things can contribute to the building of a character. All right. Sometimes we get so caught up in our reality that we forget that the people in the Bible had realities too. And we totally become disconnected to their lives and their emotions and their experiences. It was reality. And us, here we are in our air-conditioned Sunday school rooms with laminators and glitter. And we have no idea what the people went through in Bible times to serve God and to do what they did. Try to get your brain in that character's head. Try to connect, let there be a heartfelt connection with Daniel. Try to think of your own experience. Maybe when you tried to stand up for something at work and you got rejected, or you got condemned, or you were put down, or maybe you were even threatened to be fired or something. Try to let there be a personal attachment to the Word of God. Because when there is, you're going to feel the passion, you're going to feel the anointing, you're going to feel the zeal when you're presenting it to the kids. Because when they hear, they're not just going to hear some story that's written on black and white. They're going to hear life. They're going to hear real life circumstances that they're going through, or they've gone through, or they're about to go through. And they're going to get hope. Because every time we present a story, that's what it's all about, is presenting hope of Jesus Christ and how they could apply those stories to their life. Our job is not just to tell stories. It's not storytelling time just for them to hear a history lesson. Everything that we present needs to be applicable to their lives. We need to think, before we tell the story, before we get our skit together, what do we want the kids to take home from this? Because they're not just going to happen to think of, oh, hey, that means... No, it has to be intentional. It has to be on purpose. Praise God. If it's a Bible story that you're telling, or a skit, which if you're telling a story, I don't see why it wouldn't be a Bible story. But if it's a skit, I've seen skits done that are more like parables in and of themselves. They're not necessarily Bible stories, but they teach biblical principles. If you're presenting a Bible story via a skit, then you need to make sure that you have really studied so you're consistent with the Bible and as equal to the actual character as possible, okay? Please don't go in there thinking you know a story and you don't study it out, and you go in there and you start teaching the kids false information. There was nothing more embarrassing when I was a young person. I had the opportunity to preach a little local youth rally, and I was still a teenager, really green in preaching. And I was so excited, and I knew a story that I wanted to teach because it went exactly hand in hand with my message. And I was gonna preach that story, and man, we're gonna have a move of God. But I already knew the story, I didn't need to study it. And I get up there in front of all those people, and I start talking about Naaman and how he was the king of Judah. That guy was a captain of the armies of Syria, and I'm over here giving out false information. I didn't even catch it until my mom was back there the entire time. No, he was a captain. I'm like, oh dear God. And I didn't even catch it. I was so ashamed. I was so embarrassed. I was mortified. Don't make that mistake. Because your kids, if you present it well, they're going to go home and they're going to be like, guess what we learned about in Sunday school? We learned how Jonah gave people the Ten Commandments, and then Moses got swallowed by a whale, and then Paul denied Jesus. You know, and if you do that, you're not being consistent with the Word of God. We're trying to teach the Word of God. We're not trying to butt up against it and breed confusion. So once you've determined the lesson you want to teach with the skit or the story, it can be a lot easier to assemble your characters. You know what? This is important. You need to pray about the stories that you're going to tell in your kids' church. It might be in your curriculum. Don't read your curriculum. Please don't read your curriculum. There is nothing more boring than a teacher that just reads their curriculum. Study your curriculum before Sunday and then pray what God wants you to teach from those lessons and what he wants you to focus on from those stories. Curriculum's great. It's a structure. It helps you keep on track. But listen, if you haven't prayed about what God wants you to speak to the kids, guess what? The curriculum's not speaking to those children. You are. The curriculum's not alive and powerful and quicker than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is. So use the curriculum as a tool, but at the end of the day, it comes down to you and your passion teaching these kids and presenting the Word of God as a living, breathing, tangible thing that they can value in their life. So you need to pray. And once you've prayed and you feel a message that God wants to give to you to teach to the children, then it's a lot easier coming up with characters and the vehicle to get you there. All right, let's move on. There's different types of skits that you can do and dramatizations. I feel like I'm going over some of this twice. Before we talk about the different types of skits, we need to be aware that you need to have an objective that the skit should accomplish. This will be your focus and your reason for even presenting the skit. What is the lesson you want to teach? Once this is answered, you can then start processing which method you want to use to teach that concept. Don't let it be a general thing either. Don't just say, God's good, okay? Don't be general. Be very specific in your lessons. Be very specific in what you want to accomplish in your storytelling and in your dramatizations. Why? Because kids need specifics. They need specifics. We can't just tell them to eat a banana because it's good for them. We have to tell them that they have to first grab the banana, and then they have to unpeel the banana. If you just tell them to eat a banana, they're not going to think to unpeel it, just bite into it. No, they really wouldn't do that. But when you're teaching your lessons, you got to be very specific. Don't skip over stuff. Be very specific in what you want to bring forth. Your objective should be not be teaching about three Hebrew boys walking in a fiery furnace, but let the objective present the story in an applicable way for your kids' life, like God will protect his faithful children. Don't say, today we're going to be talking about the three Hebrew boys. Say, instead, today we're going to talk about how God protects his children. Don't say, today we're going to be talking about Noah and the ark. Instead, say, today we're going to be talking about how God saves those who love him. Present the life application. And the story is just the vehicle to present the message. They need to know stories. They need to know Bible. But all of it is to be applied. It's not just to be known. So make it come alive to them. One of the different types of skits, I kind of already went over it. It's a monologue, a skit in which a single person speaks alone. Since you are the only character in the skit, you really have to present yourself as that character in every way possible. Put on a robe. Put on a beard. Do your hair funky. Do something. Put on a crown. Do something to present yourself as that character. Try to use props in your monologue as much as possible. Drag around a fishing net if you're Peter and you're upset that Jesus died, so you went back a fishing. Drag around your fishing net and just talk about Jesus as really upset. All right? Dude, this would be cool. Get a trained dove for Noah. Could you imagine carrying around a dove in the classroom? Talking about Noah? That'd be so legit. And if you could, just get a whole petting zoo and bring it in the classroom. Talk about Noah. Try to use as much props as possible. You have to be extra careful in making sure you know the story and the character really well before presenting it, because you are speaking from a first-person point of view. Could you imagine speaking as a first-person point of view and getting the story all wrong, and then the kids going back in the Bible and like, he didn't do that. She never said that. Wait a second. And come back to you and they're like, wait a second, who are you really? The next kind of dramatization or storytelling you could do is a narrative. I like to call this, and you could write this down, a you're it skit. You're it skit. And it's this. It's a skit where a person narrates a story while a person or a group of people act it out. So you have a narrator, and while one person's narrating, a bunch of other people are acting out the story. They don't talk a whole lot unless the narrator says they said this. And then she exclaimed, I can't believe the dog ate the tuna. And then that person in the skit, whoever the narrator's talking about, will scream, I can't believe the dog ate the tuna, right? But the people that are acting it out, they are completely dependent on the narrator. So the narrator has to be very clear and precise in presenting actions. The reason why I like to call this type of skit or storytelling or dramatization a you're it skit is because many times my wife and I have gone to kids in Sunday school before class started and say, hey, you want to help me out with a skit today? Okay, you're Peter. Hey, you want to help me out with a skit today? Okay, you're John. Hey, all right, you're it. And you tell them, you assign characters to kids in your classroom so that they could be a part of teaching your lesson. Isn't that cool? And you bring them up to the front of the class, and all you're doing is narrating. You're just telling a story, and you have all these kids running around. Right? And they're just having a blast. They're having a blast. And that's one great way to present a story. This can be a lot of fun because you actually use the kids in this type of skits, as well as other children's ministers. Someone will tell a story very dramatically and descriptively using only their voice while others act it out as the story is told. Okay. Another different type of skit that you could do is a dialogue. And this is where, this is a skit where two or more people are interacting with each other to present a story. There are several different characters you can use in a dialogue skit. In case you always thought that humans were the only people that could actually do skits. You could use puppets, or let me just go in order how I have it written out here. You could use special guests, somebody that's not typically in Sunday school. Check it out. This is really fun. You could bring in an elder of the church that's not typically involved in Sunday school and get them involved in a skit. And the kids are like, dude, who's this guy? You know, wait, that's Sister So-and-so. That's Grandma, whoever. She's in our Sunday school classroom. She's part of this skit. This is cool. That's exciting. You could use puppets. Puppets are a great way to do a dialogue dramatization. There are so many awesome human-to-puppet interactions that you can do. That's because kids love puppets. Puppets are totally over the top. That's fantastic. You could use some of the kids in your classroom. You could use clowns. Clowns are awesome for skits. I like using clowns because they're just over the top and they're goofy and the kids love some of their actions. And they could totally mess up and it looks like it's all part of the show. So just keep in mind, just be creative. It doesn't have to always be you and your assistant teacher, you and your helper, you and whoever else is in the classroom with you. Use your kids. Grab a puppet in there. Bring in a special guest. Do something outside of the box and creative to bring the word to life to these children. Be careful that you place people as characters that you want, that you have confidence will know the story and the character. There's nothing worse than telling somebody, okay, this is what I want to be said. I'm not going to give you a script, but we could figure it out. This is the story that we're going to tell. And then you have one idea of how the story went. And the other person has another idea of how the story went. And that other guy, he really doesn't know the details. And here you are trying to highlight the details that he doesn't know. And it is just a train wreck. So if you're going to do a dialogue skit where there's multiple people involved, you need to make sure that you get together. And if you don't practice, at least study and study and study and make sure that the message is coherent. Make sure that the story is universally understood. Make sure that all these things flow together, because you do not want a train wreck in your Sunday school classroom. Why? Because the whole purpose of this is to present the Word of God and let it be alive and let it be powerful. That's the whole purpose of why we tell stories and why we do dramatizations. It's to bring the Word of God in a powerful and a living way where the kids can literally apply to their lives. So I'm going to give you one more tip to take home and to practice with your children's ministry team. And this is a great way to build up your skills in dramatizations and storytelling. So this is really important. I really want you guys to do this, okay, when you guys go home to your local churches. I don't know how you guys meet, if you meet before Sunday school or when you guys meet or whatever. You need to do this. Get your team together and write down some scenarios, some Bible story scenarios. Place it in a bowl, shake it up real good, and have different people or teams come together and draw it and get together. And on the spot, do a skit. Not have time to create a script, just right there, look at the scenario, maybe have a couple of minutes to talk about it, and bring it before the rest of the team and do a skit. It could be the five stones that David picked up to use against Goliath. It could be the little boy and his sack lunch bringing it to Jesus, and then Philip's over here, oh, I don't think it's possible, and all this stuff. So be creative. Think of Bible stories that the kids might not have a personal relationship with, and find ways to apply them to the children's life. Because, like I said, we're not here just to tell to teach history. We're not here just to tell some story from a book. We're here to bring forth a live, powerful Word of God and let it be applicable to these children's lives. Because that's what's going to make it. That's what's going to help them make it through their life. Amen. Our goal in skits is to should be to present them in creative and effective ways that teach our children to apply the principles of God's word. Amen. So I don't know what's next, brother. Bus part two is in here. Has anybody been enjoying this seminar so far? Man, this is awesome. This is powerful. I am shocked at the attendance that we've had. This is awesome for year one. So thank you for coming.
Okay, so bus part two is in here. Games is over in the cafe. And get your puppet on is in the prayer room. So games in the cafe, puppets in the prayer room, and bus ministry part two is in here. There's like too many sessions. Yeah. It's super fun what they're doing in the game session.